Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
There is no one that is going to make it into heaven because they're baptized. No one is going to make it into heaven because they speak in tongues. No one who is going to make it into heaven because they go to church on Saturday. No one is going to make it into heaven because they're baptized in the name of Jesus only. You are saved by grace and by faith alone, and that is it.
The Judaizers of Paul's day tried to convince new Christians that in order to be truly saved, they had to do more than just believe Jesus died for their sins. Today, we still have to beware of those who try and add to the message of salvation. There is nothing more beyond Jesus and His grace that saves you. We continue our series through Philippians today with chapter 3. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we are thankful. We're thankful that we're able to look at your word today and see the powerful message that Paul gives us. We're thankful for the incredible gift of writing that you gave to Paul, really rivals any author in all of history. We're also thankful for the work of your Spirit in each of our lives and taking these truths and really applying them. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We also pray for the money that has been given today to share in the work of the gospel through what we do here, through television, through radio. We pray that you would bless those that give. You've said that if we give, that it would be given back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And Lord, we know that that's not a matter of greed, but it's a matter of generosity, that we know that we can be generous in giving to your work. We pray also that we would be effective in taking the message of the gospel to a lost, dying, perishing world. Thank you that we can be a part of that work. We ask you to bless this study in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is God's Economy, and I've had to kind of abbreviate this message this morning. Now, I realize that doesn't surprise you. It seems like I am always abbreviating my messages. I never seem to get through them. I need to learn how to plan less when I'm in my study. So we won't be talking a lot about God's economy. I'll explain what I mean by that in the middle of our study. And in another study in Philippians, we'll talk a little bit more about it. But today we're going to be looking more at a warning from Paul to the church at Philippi about a very real danger that is going to come knocking at their door. It is a danger of those who say, Jesus is good. His death upon the cross is awesome. He shed his blood for you, but Jesus isn't enough. You got to have more than just Jesus. Now, in their day, they were a group of people called Judaizers. How many of you guys are familiar with the Judaizers? Just out of show of hands. All right, so a few. Let me just explain to you who the Judaizers were. The Judaizers were Jewish leaders that had gotten saved, or so it looked like they'd gotten saved. They had committed their life to Jesus, but they also believed in order to really be saved, you had to keep the law. You had to be circumcised. You had to keep the ceremonial law, and you had to keep the food law, the dietary laws. And if you didn't keep those things, then you weren't really saved. And so everywhere that Paul went, when he went up into Asia Minor, when he went into Galatia, into Phrygia, into Europe, Macedonia, the Judaizers followed him. It's just like these guys that teach false doctrine. They don't go first. They aren't out there getting people saved. Instead, they're going to the church. They're trying to infiltrate the church and get people out of the church. We're going out in the world to get people saved, and then those in these groups are coming to the church to try to take people out of the church. That's what the Judaizers did. They would show up in all of their Jewish garb, all of their very religious garb. They had their prayer shawls on. They had their pharisaical robes. They had their big spiritual-looking collars. They had the boxes on their forehead that had the leather straps, the phylacteries that were wrapped around. They talked in their very spiritual tones. And they told them, yes, Jesus is good. Yes, he died upon the cross for your sins. But if you aren't circumcised, you cannot be saved. If you don't keep the dietary laws, if you aren't Jewish, then you can't be saved. Now, praise the Lord, there are no Judaizers today. You're not going to run down the street and all of a sudden see a Judaizer walking down the street and go, that's a Judaizer. Those are the guys that said that you had to be Jews in order to be saved. However, the offspring of Judaizers are still with us today. There are those that come to you and say, listen, Jesus is good. You got to have faith in him. I mean, he died on the cross for you. We all know that. However, if you don't go to church on Saturday, you can't really be saved. Anybody here have somebody talk to them about that? Tell you you're not really saved because you didn't go to church on Saturday? How about this one? How about if you don't speak in tongues, you're really not saved? Any of you guys have that? All right, a few of you. All right, how about this one? When you were baptized, did they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or did they baptize you in the name of Jesus? Because if you're not baptized in the name of Jesus, you're not saved. How many of you guys? Ah, a few more of you. Wonder why that's the case. Oh, wait a minute, I know why that's the case. How about this one? If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Oh, Jesus is good and you've given your life to him, but I tell you what, if you're not baptized, then you're not really saved. Any of you guys run into those guys? There's a popular church here in town, probably one of the best advertised churches here in town, that teaches that unless you are baptized, you are not really saved. Hey, baptism is important. It's important to be baptized. But baptism is not salvation. The bottom line is that they are the descendants of the Judaizers because they end up putting confidence in the flesh. There ends up being a person who believes, you know what? I don't care how I live. I don't live like a Christian at all, but I was baptized. Because I was baptized, I know I'm going to heaven. Well, my friend, you are not going to heaven because you're baptized. There is no one that is going to make it into heaven because they're baptized. No one is going to make it into heaven because they speak in tongues. No one who is going to make it into heaven because they go to church on Saturday. No one is going to make it into heaven because they're baptized in the name of Jesus only. You are saved by grace and by faith alone, and that is it. And I want to say this at the beginning of our study, and I'm going to say it at the end of our study because it is so important. Folks, listen, do not let people steal from you the freedom that you have in Christ and put you under the bondage of some work. It was Christ that died for you. Do not let somebody change you to baptism being your salvation or to some other event being that event which saves you. Listen, there's mainstream evangelicalism. When we talk about mainstream evangelicalism, there could be differences in the things that they believe. We have Charles Swindoll and John MacArthur. There was J. Vernon McGee. There's Alistair Begg. There's James McDonald. The list could go on. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese. The list could go on. Calvary Chapel in general is in mainstream evangelicalism. What this means is we don't believe we're the only ones that are saved. We believe there's a lot of different churches out there that believe in Jesus and believe in the death of Jesus upon the cross. Okay? And then there are churches that pretend to be mainstream evangelical. We're mainstream evangelicalism, but you got to be baptized to be saved. And what they're telling you is we're the only ones that have the real answer. They are not mainstream evangelicalism, okay? They instead are their own little package, whatever it is, through if they're Sabbatarians or if they're are those that believe in baptism for salvation, they do not fit in, even though they want you to believe that they do. And then they want you to believe that they're the only church in town that you can really be saved in. And isn't that amazing? Sometimes they're the only church in the world that you can be saved in. Isn't that amazing? And they're in Tucson, and you found them. You're one of the only people in all the world that's going to be able to get saved. Because you got to be baptized by somebody that was 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 baptized by them. They got that person at their church. So they're the only ones that you can get saved. And when I tell you these kind of things, I'm telling you it's out there. And people go, isn't this amazing? All these other people going to church, they think they're saved by faith in Jesus, and they're not. You know what? We are. We are, and by faith, in Christ alone. Now, Paul wants to write and warn them about this because, well, the Philippians, they're his friends. He loves them greatly. He knows that everywhere that he has gone, the Judaizers have followed. And you guys now know, how many of you know what a Judaizer is now? Hey, look at that. You now know what a Judaizer is, and everywhere that Paul would go preaching the gospel, the Judaizers would follow. So Paul knew it was only a matter of time before the Judaizers showed up in all of their religious garb at the door of the Philippian church. Paul wants to warn them. And so in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." He says, listen, rejoice in the Lord. We could do a whole study on verse 1. They're about to enter into persecution, Roman persecution. There will be 10 Roman emperors in history that will persecute the church. The church of Philippi is a Roman colony. These people are going to be arrested. Some of their children are going to be thrown into the arenas. They themselves will be tortured and thrown into the arena. These people are going to pay the ultimate price for their faith. We never even begin to think about paying the ultimate price for our faith. These people are going to. Paul says, rejoice. And then he says, beware. Because he knows that these Judaizers are on the way. He says, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, and beware of the mutilations. Now, he's not telling them to beware of three different groups. These three different groups are the same. First of all, he says, beware of the dogs. Now, Paul's not the kind of guy to dance around things. Paul didn't put on a little jig and try to make things politically correct and dance around things. Did you guys like my little dance, by the way? Paul wasn't the kind to do that. Paul was the kind that called things as they were. And you realize that Jews had called Gentiles dogs for years. It was an insult. And now when Paul says, beware of the dogs, and when he turns it around, talking to Gentiles, calling Judaizers dogs, he is giving the biggest insult he can possibly think of. Paul says, beware of these guys. And he's not saying to them, beware of the puppies. Beware of the golden retrievers. They're going to jump up on you and lick you, be really excited to see you. He's saying these guys are snarling, growling, mutilating dogs. These are like packs of rabid, wild dogs that roam the streets, and they're going to tear up your faith if they have the opportunity. Because you're not going to make it into heaven if you believe that you have to be involved in Judaism to be saved. You're not going to make it into heaven if you believe that Jesus plus sacrifice, Jesus plus circumcision gets you into heaven. You're not going to make it there. Jesus plus anything doesn't equal salvation. Can I say that again? With more meaning? I said it with a lot. Jesus plus anything, plus baptism, plus going to church on Sunday, plus speaking in tongues, plus being baptized in Jesus' name only. Jesus plus anything doesn't equal salvation. Why? Because you're putting your hope in those things. Because you're saying, I've gotten saved by them. They're animals. They're dogs. They want to destroy your faith. They nip at your heels. They growl. They're menacing. That's who they are. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. I love that Paul doesn't mince words again. He doesn't say, look, these guys look good. They look like they're doing a good work. He says, this is an evil work. Why is it an evil work? Because it's an evil work to steal your freedom that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is so easy. Jesus took a child and stood a child in front of him. And then he said, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become like this child. How much easier does it get than that, folks? He could have put anybody there. He could have went and rounded up some old nerdy professor with dark socks and weird shorts, and he could have put him out in front and said, if any of you want to be saved, then you've got to become like this professor. And we all would have went, I have no hope. Not just because of the way that he dresses, but because I'm nowhere near as smart as he is. He could have gotten the smartest among us. He could have got the brightest. He could have got the most successful. You want to make it into heaven, you got to become like this successful person to get. He didn't do that. He looked around and found a child. You want to come to heaven? Got to become like this child. What is it about a child? Simple faith. Simple faith. That's it. Lord, I believe you. I believe you died for my sins. Will you come into my life? Any child can do that. You can do it too. And it's an evil worker who wants to add some work to that. Listen, I know you can come by faith, but you got to get baptized first. We don't know about the thief on the cross, what happened to him, but whatever. And so on and so forth. We don't know why Paul said, God didn't send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel, but whatever. Now he gives them another name. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, and beware of the mutilations. Now the word mutilations here, Paul is, I believe that Paul is one of the greatest authors of all time. I would stack Paul up against anybody. I'd put Paul against Shakespeare. I was talking with someone about that a while ago, and they said, oh, Shakespeare blows Paul away. I said, are you serious? Really? Seriously? Have you ever tried to do Shakespeare as a play for your kids in school? It's filthy, right? As you're doing, you go, I can't put that in there, can't put that in there. And you have to go, I wonder if the kids are going to get that. Listen, are they high? They're going to get it. If you got it, they're going to get it, okay? You think, oh, they won't get that sexual, they won't get it. Yes, they will. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yea, though I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I've become as a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. How about Romans 8:1? There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And later on, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And we may be knocked down, but we are not knocked out. Paul went on to say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? I believe that Paul's writings could be placed against any writings of anyone that is out there. I believe that Paul is one of the, he's one of the most brilliant writers that there were. He just happens to use his brilliance from time to time to really give a dig. And he does that here. When he says, beware of the mutilation, he uses a word very similar to circumcision. What's he talking about? What's the context of our text? Those people who are saying you got to be circumcised to be saved. So Paul says, beware of the mutilation. Let's talk about circumcision, the word, okay? Circum, a circle, scism, a slice. A circular slice. We know what circumcision is, right? Almost everybody in this room, when I was 12 years old, I was in a Bible study, we were in the book of Romans, Paul was talking about circumcision. I was the stupid kid who said, guys, girls in there, what's circumcision? And all the other kids giggled. The director of the Bible study said, we'll meet later, Robert, and I'll tell you what it is. It's the cutting away of the foreskin because God wanted in the Old Testament men to say, I give you the most unruly part of my life. I cut away my flesh and I am committed to you. And it was called circumcision because that's what it was. They cut a circle around and took away the foreskin. Circumcision. Paul's word here doesn't use the word circumcision. The last part of this word is scism, meaning cut. And the first part is off. Paul says, beware of those that cut it off. Beware of the mutilators. Now, I don't think that he's using it in a sense physically. I think he's using it saying they're mutilating the gospel. I think this is a play on words for the sake of a picture. Paul is saying they're mutilators. They mutilate the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died upon the cross for your sins, and if you believe in him, you'll be saved. And they come in and tell you you got to be circumcised to be saved. They're the mutilators. And that's what they are. You beware of the dogs. You beware of the evil workers. You beware of the mutilators. He goes on to say in verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. See, there's been a change. Yes, in Old Testament times, you were circumcised and you kept the law to follow God. But now that Jesus died upon the cross, he became the fulfillment of them all. And we are the circumcision because God has taken away the heart of stone and we now have a heart that is set upon God so that you and I are the circumcision spiritually. They can run around all they want and say, you got to go to church on Saturday to be saved. And you and I go, we are the Sabbatarians. Jesus is my rest. You go to church on Saturday to get your rest? I get my rest by Jesus. By the way, let's just talk about the going to church on Saturday thing for a minute. What's really funny about Sabbatarians today is that they tell you that going to church on Saturday is fulfilling the Old Testament law, and that the Old Testament law we're told to be fulfilled. But do you know that never in the Bible, never in the Old Testament, does it ever tell you that fulfilling the Sabbath is going to church? There was the Sabbath law, there was a Sabbath meal, there was how far you could travel, there was what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath day, but it never talked about going to church. In other words, they rewrite the Sabbath law and then have the gall to tell you that you aren't keeping the Sabbath law that they rewrote. I like to say, why don't you show me in the Bible where it says I got to go to church on Saturday? Well, that's really not in there word for word. It's really in there and kind of got to put it together. It's really not like right there. You can just go read it. You got to kind of, you know, get it from there. It really is pretty amazing. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. And then he says, rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, what a powerful statement. He says, rejoice in Jesus Christ. You've been saved by his death upon the cross. And doesn't it make sense that the enemy wants to come in and get you to think that there's something else that you need to be saved? Rejoice in Jesus Christ. That's why you have been saved. How is it that Robert Furrow's sins were forgiven? By the work of the cross. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. It's not because I've gone to church on Saturday or was baptized or speak in tongues. It is because Jesus had grace upon me by the work of the cross. Rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. What happens when a person from Calvary runs into a group of people from this other church? I'll remain nameless for now. They run into these people from this other church, and these other people go, listen, you're not really saved because you didn't get baptized, or you got baptized by Calvary. Well, they don't believe that you get saved by baptism, so you got to be rebaptized in order to really be saved. So the person goes, wow, stinking Robert. Didn't tell me I had to be baptized in order to be saved, and still on my way to hell, even though I've asked Jesus to forgive my sins, began to live for him, accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross. Who would have ever have known that the work of the cross would be insufficient for salvation? And I need to be baptized. So now that person gets baptized. Now they're walking down the U of A and somebody runs into them and says, hey, how are you? And you know, how's your faith going? Really, really good. I got saved when I got baptized the other day. Did you just put confidence in the flesh? You think now you got saved because you got baptized? Well, yes, and I received Jesus' work on the cross. Yeah, but Jesus' work on the cross couldn't save you. But baptism can. Or speaking in tongues can. Or going to church on Sunday can. Saturday can. Or whatever else anybody wants to make up can. Right? So now you have confidence in the flesh. Now we might have confidence in the flesh in other ways as well. You might raise your hand after a service, but you may never change the way you live. You may walk out of this room and be the same person you've always been. And when someone says, hey, are you saved? So you say, yeah, I went to Calvary and raised my hand. And I know I'm saved. Hey, wait a minute. It's confidence in the flesh.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.